Welcome to It's a Good Life, the podcast for entrepreneurs, where it's all about growing yourself and your business. Here's your host, founder of America's largest business coaching company, Brian Buffini.
Top of the morning to you, and welcome to today's episode, The Celtic Tiger. It's almost St. Patrick's Day, you know, that global celebration of all things Irish on March 17th. Some people think St. Paddy's Day is a bit cheesy, but for me, it's actually a very special thing to see people all over the world gather together to celebrate our country's history and heritage. We Irish have to be one of the only cultures in the world that's universally known and welcome just about everywhere. And we're not perfect by any means, but we do have a pretty good reputation for being friendly, hospitable and good crack, which means, by the way, good fun in case there's any misunderstandings. Millions of people worldwide have Irish ancestry, and this shows up in a big way on the day when everybody wants to be Irish. So this time of year, it's also a reminder of how far our little Emerald Isle has come. When I was a boy growing up in Dublin, St. Patrick's Day was very simple. My mother would pin a lump of fresh shamrock to our jumpers, sweaters known to you folks, and we'd go to Mass as a family, and then we'd get in the bus into the centre city and watch the parade on O'Connell Street. Another thing I loved about the day was it'd give you a special 24-hour dispensation from Lent. If you'd given up candy until Easter, you were allowed to have some on that one day. So you can imagine us Buffini boys making the most of that free pass. Back then, the Dublin parade was just a few tractors and trucks and a group of Irish dancers doing jigs and reels on platforms, standing on the back of the trucks. So there might have been a marching pipe band if we were lucky. These days, there's international groups and traveling from every country in the globe to take part. It's a big spectacle today. Hotels are sold out long in advance. If you've never been, I do recommend you go. You have to make your reservations far in advance, but there's incredible entertainment, a spirit of togetherness, and the celebration is remarkable. They dye the Liffey green, and you can imagine there's a few pints of Guinness being tipped. But it always strikes me, watching it now, just how did such a poor country, with a small little parade and a few beaten up tractors, become a thriving, wealthy nation, with a festival worldwide that now lasts a week? Well, part of it was to do with a major boom that began in the mid-90s and lasted until today, you can say, but certainly into the mid-2000s. At the time, it was the only Western country to match the economic growth of like a country like China. And so they called them the four Asian tigers were in the Far East, and we had what was called the Celtic Tiger. And what I want to do is draw analysis of how does a country change its fortunes. I want to dig in here because there's principles here. If a country can change its fortunes, can you as an individual change your fortune? So the gift I have for you for this St. Patrick's Day is principles that brought on and took people out of generations and generations of poverty. Hundreds and hundreds of years of famine and pestilence. We had more than one great famine. How does a country that can't even feed itself, that can't even sustain itself, that is basically governed by another sovereign nation, so you're not even controlling your own country. Famine is the lowest form of poverty. How does that country today become one of the richest, most successful countries in the world? I'm going to walk you through that. I'm going to talk about the challenges of the past with our great country. I'm going to cover the traits of those who turned it around. And then I'm talking to the ultimate rags to riches as a nation, which has rarely ever been done in the history of mankind. So let's talk about the challenges of the past. We had long-term poverty, long-term. Ireland was a poor rural economy for generations, was an agrarian-based culture. In the 1740s, we had our first major famine. The only reason it wasn't totally catastrophic is that at that time, there was a ban on Irish produce leaving the land. Now, 100 years later, there was over 8 million people in Ireland at the time of the Great Famine. And in a period of under a decade, there was 3.5 million people left. 1 million people starved, 1.5 million people left, and then 1 million people died leaving. And so that was just a huge thing. It led to mass emigration. We used to say that the number one export of Ireland was its people. And so that's why Irish people have traveled all over the world. That's why they have ancestry all over the world. Up to 60 million Americans alone claim some form of Irish heritage in their background. I saw this in my own family. You know, this went on for generations. My grandfather came to America in 1926, and I have the picture of the ship he came over and actually the registry in Ellis Island. It was actually one of my clients sent it to me, and then I went and got it all made up and beautiful. Actually had copies made for my family. But it showed my grandfather in 1926, because why Ireland was just immersed in poverty long before the Great Depression. And my grandfather got on a boat called the Celtic, and I have that picture of that ship in my office. And that ship was the biggest ship in the world until the Titanic was built. Now imagine, he got on a boat to come to America after the Titanic went down. And you got to understand, that was one of the greatest public tragedies in the world. And people were terrified to get on these boats. But in need of success, my own grandfather jumped on the Celtic. In 1924 he came, so it was 10 years after the Titanic, and his bride-to-be came in 1926. That's the reason why I have American citizenship today, is because my grandfather went before me, and that ultimately led me to get my green card. So this has been going on for a long, long time. Ireland, very poor, with famines, and then mass emigration. They used to call it the brain drain. Every family lost somebody. Now, in Ireland, for me, I was born in the mid-60s. By the mid-80s, Ireland was considered a third world economic country. There had been a worldwide recession. They used to say America caught a cold, Ireland would catch pneumonia. England was struggling at the time, our single most dominant trade partner. And so for those Irish people who were my age in the 1980s, there was just nothing to do. There was just no opportunities anywhere. That's why I got onto my boat. Only my boat was a TWA flight, for those of you able to remember that. And I had $100 in my wallet. And people always say, you say 92. Well, I met my Uncle Jimmy and my cousin Paul in JFK Airport in New York. And I remember I bought them each a beer, and myself a beer. I remember it cost $8. That's why I knew I had 92. They had sponsored me for my green card, and I met them in JFK, and then on to Southern California I went, 1986. And so that was Irish heritage. Famines, political domination by England, agricultural country. We missed completely the Industrial Revolution. And then from that point on, we just had a history that if you were ambitious, if you were success-minded, you left. And by the way, just so you know, more women left Ireland than even men. It's one of the great not told stories of that. And I think how brave so many of these young gals were to get on boats and ships and go to places where they knew nobody and be at risk, and but fought their way through. And then even in the more modern times, there have been bust and boom cycles in Ireland. And we've had the high peaks and the valleys long after famine times. I'm talking even during and post Celtic Tiger, we've had times when things flew off the shelf and then things crashed. But through it all, Irish people and the Irish culture have made some changes, and they've done some things. And there's some business structures, and there's some practical how-tos I'm going to get into. But ultimately, there's a lot lesson to learn. Rarely have you seen a country that went from being so poor to so rich. I just saw the other day the most expensive countries to live in, and they had Ireland as number one. They had the top 10 most expensive cities to live in the world, and Dublin was number one. My parents' house, when they bought their house, it cost £1,800. It was fully furnished and came with a motorbike. And today that house is worth about $700,000. Tiny little house, terraced house, right? We have adjoining walls with people on either side, whatever, 750 square feet. We converted our attic. We built out our kitchen. We did whatever we could. We had five boys living in a 9x9. The Ireland I grew up in, no opportunity, no real capital, coming out of agrarian nature, is now the Silicon Valley of Europe. And a thriving economy. We're actually having emigration again because it's so expensive to live. Some of the younger people are leaving, if you can believe that. Let's talk about what in the heck happened, right? We exported all this talent. I actually wrote a book called The Emigrant Edge, right? Because I was one of the talent that left. But the number one thing that I will say, and it was in The Emigrant Edge, that Irish people came to the US, to Canada, to Australia, to England, wherever the Irish people went, was this do whatever it takes mindset. And that's in The Emigrant Edge. If you've never read the book, I highly recommend it. Do whatever it takes. They were persistent and willing, creative, when they met roadblocks. And so what happened is the Celtic Tiger happened when Irish people, instead of doing that stuff overseas, did it at home in Ireland. Okay? that whole dynamic on how do you have a do what it takes mindset. Remember where you came from, so you keep perspective. Just have this never say die attitude, and then just believe that you're going to succeed no matter what, no matter what. A great example of this would be Ryanair. Now, you got to remember, Ireland is 300 miles long, 150 miles wide. They say there's 5 million population today. I'll take them at their word. Here's a story of a business you may have heard of. It's called Ryanair. And like all Irish success stories, there's lots of criticism of this fellow, just like there is of me or anyone else. That's one of the great traditions we have in Ireland, is we like to bitch and moan when people really do succeed. The founder, Tony Ryan, sent his assistant, Michael O'Leary, to Dallas to study Southwest Airlines, which was the first low-cost airlines. Then he met Herb Kelleher, who he says drank him under the table, by the way. Herb could really put it away and love Guinness. And he returned home educated about aircraft turnarounds and how to do it in 25 minutes and how a single aircraft with the one type of plane and one type of pilot and one type of baggage compartment and no frills. That became the concept of, okay, great, we've seen somebody else do it. How can we do it in Ireland? And O'Leary's main influence growing up at that time was on an Irish farm. And he said, farmers have to survive the winter. They don't waste money. They're very conscious of buying when everyone else is selling and selling when everyone is buying. And he happened to have one gift that became very valuable. So he grew up on a farm. He saw a model that worked and he was good at PR. Okay. He just built a remarkable business. Ryanair is now the largest airline outside of the United States. Now picture this, from a tiny country. The largest airline outside the United States is Ryanair. They operate over 3,000 daily flights to 235 destinations. And in 2023, they carried over 185 million passengers. A Ryanair with a little harp on the tail. A Paddy May Good story. Thomas and Edison said the three great essentials to achieve anything. First, hard work. Second, stick-to-itiveness. And third, common sense. Well, it'd be fair to say that's the Ryanair story. Very, very powerful. Another dynamic that happened right at the same time as Ryanair was coming out was on the culture side. And that became Riverdance. Many people have seen the famous Michael Flatley, shirt off, doing the high steps, doing his whole thing. He actually, in 1947, Flatley's parents emigrated from Ireland to Detroit and then on to Chicago. And they worked 7 days a week for a better life. And Michael Flatley grew up as the son of Irish immigrants, seeing his parents, you know, busting their hump with great work ethic. When he started, you know, here he was, a boy, which was typically at the time, a lot of girls dominated the Irish dancing competitions. But he got in, he got good, he worked hard at it, he auditioned in Broadway, they laughed him off the stage, he kept going, doing his thing. He couldn't understand that one of the Broadway people said, why do you dance with your hands by your side? Now, this is a great example. Why do Irish people dance with their hands by the side? Well, we had a set of laws called the Penal Laws in 1805, and an Irishman couldn't own a horse and couldn't have more than 5 pounds, and he couldn't be a success, couldn't own a big farm. These were laws that basically, if you were Irish, you had to be poor, and you also couldn't be an accepted society. So imagine in the 1800s, they said Irish Catholics couldn't dance above the waist. And above the waist was, you've got to picture these like Elizabethan dances, and everybody's in these ball gowns, and they hold hands and they spin around in quarters and whatever else. So it was a way to keep the Irish Catholics out of polite society. So what happened? Irish dancing, in like all Irish things, was a protest, which is, I'm going to keep my arms straight down and I'm going to have feet flying like fury, and I'm going to put steel bits on the bottom of my shoes to make the biggest noise I can, and we're going to do it rhythmically to music. Like many things people romanticize about Ireland, Irish dancing was a protest to being left out. We're not allowed to be successful. We're not allowed to be in the culture. So here's Michael Flatley years later. Riverdance was a famous song competition in Europe called the Eurovision Song Contest. You've heard of bands like ABBA and a number of bands who found their start in the Eurovision Song Contest. And during the intermission at the 1994 Eurovision Song Contest, out came this production. And here was, I'd say, 100 years of pent-up frustration into a world-class production. Brilliant music, fabulous lighting, and Irish dancing like people had never seen before. It was powerful, it was forceful, it was artistic, it was brilliant. That particular performance was watched by 300 million people that night. It became a global sensation. Today, the Riverdance has had 15,000 performances in 50 countries, six continents, and has been seen live by, in the show, has been seen live by 30 million people live. Then Flatley went on to develop the Lord of the Dance and all that stuff. In fact, at our Mastermind Summit, this year we're looking for our 25th year of Mastermind. I actually, myself, Beverly, my two oldest kids, actually did a river dance routine at our Mastermind one time in front of 5,000 people. Brought in some of the river dance crew. In fact, a cousin of mine was in the original river dance show. This was an example of turning it around. So I shared with you Ryanair, I shared with you Riverdance. Now let me share with you another little example. And this is a smaller business, but I was the customer of. Now I'm not paid to tell you this. I'm not an advocate. I'm a customer. But I love, you know, when people take great care of you. So I took my two boys and their best friend Micaiah on a golf trip to Ireland a few years ago. And I've gone all kinds of places. I've golfed in Scotland. I've golfed all these places. But this was just the most special trip. And it wasn't because I'm from Ireland. It was the way these guys took care of us. So I had a hard time booking hotels. I had a hard time getting the tea times, all these things. I reach out to them, bang, tea times happen right away. Oh, here's the five golf courses I want to play. The Royal Dublin, Portmarnock, European Club, the Island, the Hidden Gem. Boom, all laid out. And when we got to the hotel, there was just little goodies there, you know, like a little bag for your shoes and, you know, some snacks for the boys, some Irish chocolates and crisps and things like that. And it was just these little touches. And I remember thinking to myself, no wonder the Irish are doing so well. Just no wonder. And that's the same principle I brought to my real estate career. That's the same principle I brought to Buffini & Company with coaching. It's like, no wonder we've done so well. That's an example of these same principles of the Celtic Tiger and how it can apply not only to big companies, but to small businesses like ours. And you can use that kind of mindset to grow your business and generate more referrals. What was the Celtic Tiger? Where someone was hungry for success and went out and was willing to learn. What do you know that I don't? What do you know, Herb Kelleher, that I don't? We're going to follow a good model and adapt it to our market. Those are principles we can all adapt. What was Flatley? Great. Not allowed to be at the table of success for a long time. And then all of a sudden, here it comes. A cultural exposition. But now what happened is confidence came. When people would hear about Ryanair doing well, when people saw Riverdance, and they're like, hang on a second here. We're proud to be Irish. We're doing our thing. And people grew in confidence. Could you use a bit more confidence? Could you perhaps execute on something that's been a goal or a dream of yours for years and go and do it? Of course you can. Of course you can. The other dynamic that happened with the Celtic Tiger that many people attribute to it is that just an overall sense of confidence came. Ireland was in the World Cup in America in 1994 and we beat Italy. And the Italians were one of the superpowers of soccer. And Ireland beat Italy. And between the Riverdance and the soccer and Ryanair, all of a sudden Irish people started to believe in themselves. They didn't have to believe, I have to leave home to be successful. I can believe in myself and be successful. And there's role models. There's examples. Instead of the occasional successful person who received all the criticism, there were multiple successful people and more people were thinking, japers, maybe I'd like to be like them. So that Celtic Tiger concept is they have a perspective of where they came from. They had a boldness to invest. That's in the emigrant edge. They invested in themselves, invested in their vocation, invested in others. Irish people learned to invest in themselves. And you got to see this very significant rise. One of the things you'll see today is when I was growing up in Ireland, like the biggest Bruce Springsteen concert of all time is not in America, not in Pennsylvania, not in Allentown. It was in Slane Castle, north of Dublin. And I was there with 112,000 people in the Born in the USA concert. Irish people always participated in concerts and always participated in music. We're very musical people. And we'd watch other people perform. You know, one of the things in Irish culture the last few years is Ireland's a great place for seminars. They've built a fantastic downtown convention center. Of course, they call it the keg because it kind of looks like a keg on its side. But the fact of the matter is Irish people are now buying self-help books and going to seminars and investing in themselves. That was ridiculed when I was growing up as a kid. That is now part and parcel of how Irish people think and do and act. You go to Ireland today, what used to be the docklands. I remember as a kid having to run along the docks, along the Liffey, and you had to run fast because you were taking your life into your hands. You go along there today, you go down by the quays today, and you will see every major American corporation that there is has their headquarters in Europe in Dublin. you'll see Apple and you'll see Facebook and you'll see Salesforce and one after the other and Microsoft after the other. All you'll see is these high rises. It's Millionaire Row. Unbelievable. Because the environment, the attitude. I've often talked about personal success stories, but imagine a country that turned it around. Now, I'll also say structurally, Ireland was helped by some tax laws. Now, I've never been a fan of the Irish tax system for me as an individual, but Ireland said we need to incentivize people to be successful. So what they did was they came up with the lowest corporate tax rate in Europe. So here's the closest country in Europe to America. English-speaking, well-educated, hungry people who want to grow. And by the way, we're going to give you a tax break to come. So guess what? Economic incentive. Economic incentive. Another key ingredient in the Celtic Tiger. So now all of a sudden you have a turnaround. Corporations coming there. Jobs aplenty. I mean, the real estate market. Like I said, my parents' house worth a fortune. Still a tiny little house. Still terraced on both sides. Ireland did this as a country. And if they can do this as a country, you can do this as a person. And it's one of the reasons I'm bringing this stuff to you today, so that you can kind of have a little bit of a taste of not St. Paddy's Day in regards to it's just about drinking Guinness, but maybe you can drink deep of the principles of the Irish who turned around a whole country. And in turn, you can turn around your whole life. So they have to do whatever it takes, bonus to invest, and they were learners. The last piece is the old rags to riches, you know? In 2015, a growth rate of 6.7% marked the beginning of another level of period of strong economic growth in Ireland. So not just in the 90s, not just in the early 2000s. Of course, there was a big setback with the Great Recession worldwide. But then Ireland bounced back again one more time. And between 2015 and 2019, inflation-adjustable disposable income grew by 4.5%, compared to 2% in the EU, 1.9% in Canada, 2% in the US. People's income grew at a faster rate than almost anywhere in the world. We saw this grow and grow and grow. And what happens is success breeds success. So the next thing you know, all of a sudden the Irish film industry blows up. If you've ever seen Game of Thrones, people came to Northern Ireland and people avoided Northern Ireland like the plague. Game of Thrones, the Banshees of Inisherin, Cillian Murphy, and a whole host of all these actors now getting nominated for Oscars. Success breeds success. That's the true beauty of rags to riches. Ireland right now is attracting successful people. It was interesting during COVID. You know, there's a place in Dublin called Killiney, a lot of beautiful homes right on the water. A lot of successful people live there. Well, when you're a star in Ireland, you go down to the local pub. Like Bono goes to the local pub, people leave him alone. People are able to give them their space. They know they're a big star and a celebrity, but they're not running over looking for selfies. So when Matt Damon and his family were in a situation where here comes COVID, he took his family next door to Bono and the boys, and a whole bunch of celebrities came. Why? Because success attracts success. The movies, the music, the arts, very, very famous celebrities all moving to Ireland, having a home in Ireland. Why? Because success breeds success. You want that kind of momentum in your life. If you'll turn your business around, turn your finances around, turn your life around, you'll find the same thing happens for you. And success will breed success. A couple of tips on this, I would say, and I've said in The Emigrant Edge, is be a goal-getter. We talked about it here in episode 158 to kick the year off, how to be a goal-getter. We talked with John Acuff, who will be speaking at our peak experience this year, and he talked about all it takes is a goal. America, I will say, at its peak, John F. Kennedy, another Irishman, said, we're going to put a man on the moon, bring him safely to Earth by the end of the decade. Ireland, during the Great Recession, said, we're not going to be like Greece. We're not going to be like these other countries that defaulted on their debt. We're going to pay the piper. We're going to cut our expenses. We're going to try to grow our top line. We're going to pay off all our debtors. And because they did, the country rebounded enormously. You can do those same things with your finances. Cut your expenses. Grow your top line and grow. And then all of a sudden, bang, here it comes. So be a go-getter. Sow those seeds of self-development. You really want to sow those seeds. And that's what has happened for Irish people and an Irish culture now for a long time. There's a great quote that says, amateurs practice until they get it right, but pros practice until they can't get it wrong. Are you sowing seeds for yourself? Are you in coaching? Are you reading books? Are you listening to the podcast faithfully? Or do you listen once in a while? What are you doing to grow? Are you binge watching Netflix? Are you binge listening the It's a Good Life podcast? Are you sharing your insights with a friend? Are you going and collaborating? What are you doing? Are you joining small groups? Are you going to events? What are you doing? You've got to sow those seeds of personal development. So you want to be a goal-getter. You want to sow the seeds of self-development. And then you need to take the self out of self-help. You need to take the self out of self-employed. Get the help you need. I know this. I am not a self-made millionaire. And I'm a classic Irish success story. I'm proud of it. In fact, a number of years ago, there was a program called Made in America. And if you want to look it up, we're basically on our version of 60 Minutes. An Irish camera crew followed me around for a couple of weeks, actually. Came to my home and so on and so forth. And wanted to do a story on a number of Irish people who made it good. And I got an hour program and they followed me around. And it was interesting that many of the people who came, they were skeptical. He's in the seminar business. Is he a huckster? Is he this or is that? And at the end of the time, I'd have the producer going, you know, I've never set a goal in my life. And then I have the lead cameraman going, you know, I see now the power of this budgeting. And the other person goes, tell me about self-development. And one of the great thrills of my life is the seven crew that came out and followed me around for a couple of weeks all seemed to be impacted by following my life around and seeing the success I'd enjoyed, that I was just an ordinary fella from the south side of Dublin who'd achieved this great success, and the same principles would work for them. They were hungry, they were ready to go. The Celtic Tiger, it's a phenomenal story of a country that after hundreds and hundreds of years of struggle and strife, turned it around to become considered the gold star in the European crown of success. Well, if a country can do it, so can you. And these same principles I shared with you today, whether you have challenges in your past, I shared some of the traits of people that turned it around and we talked about rags to riches. You can be that person. And then one day you can be that example where you're sharing your insights, your practical experience of how you changed your life around. I always like to do something special for St. Patrick's Day. I hope you found this to be special. I'm very proud of my Irish heritage. America made me. But it made me because I came with the hunger and the drive and the principles that I grew up with from the land that I love. So happy St. Patrick's Day to y'all. I wish you the luck of the Irish and the success of the Irish. And in keeping with our tradition of many years on this podcast, my little Irish mother is going to give you an Irish blessing for St. Patrick's Day and all the days to come. We'll see you next time.
May the road rise up to meet you, and may the wind always be at your back. May the rain fall soft upon your fields, and the sun shine warm upon your face. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the hollow of his hand. See you next time.